This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Brian Darling, who's director of U.S. Senate Relations at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. Earlier this week, Brian broke what may be a huge story here in Washington, the latest strategy by which congressional Democrats plan to approve a government option for health care reform and bring this whole package to the president's desk, possibly within just the next several days. And Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, this is a complicated kind of parliamentary tactical discussion, so we hope folks can follow along here. But basically, the rule is that any bill involving finances or especially tax or revenue needs to officially start in the House. But Democrats believe that starting the health care process in the Senate gives them the best chance for success. So they've decided to use a relatively rare procedure. Explain what's going on here.
Yeah, basically what's going to happen is, and to make it in a very simple soundbite, the Democrat leadership are trying to game the rules of the Senate, use very seldom used rules, so they can get a bill out of the Senate, try and get it over to the House, and get it to the president's desk. Now, the Constitution states that all tax bills have to come from the House. So there is a tax bill that has absolutely nothing to do with health care that many in the Senate leadership are preparing to take the health care bill and attach it to get over that constitutional hurdle. Now, there's been a debate in the Senate Health Committee and the Senate Finance Committee, two separate bills that are being worked on and completed in the Senate on health care. So there are two bills that are going to be married together, merged together by leadership, and they're going to be put in the form of an amendment, and that amendment will be used to drop into this unrelated bill, which is a bill that repealed the bonuses given to AIG officials who receive these multi-billion-dollar bonuses in the wake of the big scandal at AIG. So they're going to use a completely unrelated tax bill, drop health care in there, and try and get it over to the House and get it passed.
And what will it take in order to do this? What advantage does it give the Senate? Do they somehow avoid the 60-vote threshold to move this thing forward?
Well, the crazy thing is initially they'll be moving to proceed to the AIG bill. So that first filibuster, the first 60-vote hurdle, will be in a bill that has nothing to do with health care. Then they'll drop in the health care bill, and they will have a potential of a filibuster vote on the health care bill, but they'll be allowed to change it and amend it and try and buy votes in a way to get to that magic 60. The key is that the Democrat leadership, what they'll do is they'll tell their members, hold hands, we vote yes on cloture to say that we're going to complete a debate on health care, but once we get there, we're going to free up and you can vote your conscience. If you really are worried about not getting reelected, vote no in final passage, because in final passage, it's a simple majority. They only need 50 votes. So basically, Democrats can give their members a hall pass and they can have up to 10 senators voting no on final passage in a health care bill when these same senators voted to shut down debate and to move forward to final passage on the same bill.
Brian, so basically what they're counting on then, if these senators agree to what their leadership appears to be asking them, is that their constituents won't understand that a move to just open this debate on supposedly the AIG bill is really a vote in favor of the public option.
That's right. And they can throw the public option in right at the end of the debate, avoid many difficult votes, try and get it over to the House and get it to the president's desk. Now, we've seen the polling data. This is a very unpopular Obamacare bill. We've witnessed what happened at the town hall meetings, the Tea Parties, the September 12th rally in Washington, D.C. Health care and the Obama approach to health care is not popular. So the Senate is pulling out all the stops to get this bill passed as quickly as possible with no opportunity to read the bill. One thing that's very important to note is that in the Senate Finance Committee marked up working on a bill, the health care bill, but there's no bill text. They've been marking up a conceptual framework, which is merely 200 pages long, and they're going to memorialize that into legislation, which will end up being over 1,000 pages long. So they're marking up a vapor bill, an empty bill. And in these closed doors over in Capitol Hill right now, staffers are sitting down trying to craft the final package. So in the end, it's going to be leadership staffers putting together this massive bill to change our healthcare industry dramatically forever. And they're going to be moving forward with this in a closed-door manner. The American people are not going to be involved. The American people are not going to be able to review this massive overhaul of our healthcare system until it's too late.
Brian, how'd you find out about this?
Well, I spent a lot of time in Capitol Hill. I work at the Heritage Foundation, and staffers were buzzing about the possibility of this procedure being used. It is amazing that the mainstream media hasn't picked it up. I think one reason is because it's so complicated, but the other reason is because it's something that has been done in the past. It's unusual, but it has been done. So it's not something that comes completely out of the blue. I mean, if you remember the immigration debate a few years ago, very unusual procedures were used to roll that out in the Senate floor and try and get it passed. But it's something that is real. It's something that the Senate staffers, these insiders, understand. And I think most of them hope the American people will never figure out what's going on.
So what is likely to be the reaction then? You mentioned that it's behind closed doors. The people won't like that. The details of the bill probably won't be posted. They don't like that. But in terms of procedure, tactically, how things are done, they're not up necessarily on the rules of Congress. So are the Democrats betting that the public's not going to get upset about this?
I think they're betting that the American people will get upset, but they can get through it. They hold hands, get through this two-week phase where they fight out the bill and get it over with, and they don't have to worry about what happened in the House. They saw the House members running out to their town halls, getting yelled at, and the American people citing provisions in the bill. American people had read that bill, knew the bill frontwards and backwards, and they're trying to avoid the same problem by hiding the bill, getting it, railroading it through the Senate really quickly, and doing as little damage as they can to themselves. So their strategy is to get it through, take the painful 2 weeks of debate when it comes up in the Senate, and hopefully the American people will forget by the next election.
Brian, I know you're focusing mostly on the Senate side, but in the House, there's been some different projected whip counts on the Democratic side, and it appeared, at least from one of the ones I saw recently, is that there's enough moderates who don't like the public option that even in the House, that's not necessarily a guarantee. What are you hearing on that side?
I'm hearing the same things. I'm hearing that many of the blue dogs are worried about getting reelected, and they're not willing to vote for a public option if it leads to them not having a job and them having to put together their resumes and look for new work. So it's going to be a calculation, the part of Speaker Pelosi. Is she going to go all in with the liberals and put the public option in there and hope that she can hold just enough votes? Or will she go for something short of the public option where she can get some blue dogs on board and maybe they can go for the public option in a year or two?
Brian, fascinating stuff. We'll see if this gains some more traction over the next few days, especially if the timetable is as short as you suggest in your piece for Human Events. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Brian Darling is Director of U.S. Senate Relations at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.